The reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. And as we come to read the word of God, let me remind you of what a wonderful blessing it is to actually have access to the word of God, let alone the privilege of being able to meet in public and open the word of God and read it. Today's reading, Luke 16, 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. In fact, chapter 16 open in front of you. I'll be looking at that this morning, but allow me to pray before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word that we read this morning. We saw it on the screen. Lord, we thank you because we have this privilege of having your Word in our own language. And so, Father, help us to be thankful, but most importantly, help us to listen to you. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we are going through our sermon series on the parables of Luke. We come to the one that we read from Luke chapter 16. There's a doubt around whether it was actually a parable or it was a real story. Could be both, but we take it as a parable, maybe a real life illustration from Jesus. Now, last year we had to get the wall safe at the manse where we live rekeyed, because for some reason nobody had the keys, nobody had the combination, so we had to get that fixed. So the locksmiths came and they unlocked it. They took the actual door away to fix it, and then they brought it back after a few days with a new set of keys and a new combination. And it's one of these old ones where you have this dial to turn. It's not like digital. So this actually belongs to their wall safe museum. So it shouldn't be at our house, but we have it. So the guy, when he came, he showed me how to open this and how to turn the dial to the right and to the left and all the numbers. And then he left. So the next day, put all the jewelries that Faustin had into it and some money in it too, and then locked it. And I thought, oh, let's just try to open it. Couldn't open it. I couldn't for my life open that door. I tried a few times, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to call the locksmith again. So he came and graciously opened and showed me. But after he did that, I tried again. Couldn't really work it out. So after a few weeks of trying to kind of know how to swallow my pride, I rang him again. And imagine the embarrassment. He comes and, oh, you got it wrong again, right? So this time, listen, he said. So he opened it, and I think I can open it again. I haven't tried after that. We'll see. You see, I was hearing. I was seeing the guy. I saw how he did it. I was not listening. I was not paying attention, was I? How do I know? Because I couldn't open the jolly thing. I couldn't know how to dial this thing. And sometimes we do the same thing with God's word, don't we? We read, we hear, we even meditate, but we don't listen. We don't pay attention. How do we know that we don't listen? Because we don't do what it asks us to do. We ignore God's word and God. So this morning, we come to this parable. That's what we're going to think about, listening to God. Rich man and Lazarus. Jesus is encouraging the readers to listen. The importance of listening. As you read through, you might be thinking, oh, this is a parable about heaven and earth. Yes. Afterlife, yes. But it's much more than that. It's about listening to God. So what's the setting? Luke says, again, the Pharisees, they heard what Jesus was saying and they were sneering at Jesus. They were mocking and ridiculing, scoffing Jesus. See that in verse 14, isn't it? Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? To see that, we need to kind of look at the first 13 verses, right, of the chapter. That's where you need your Bible. So Jesus had been challenging his disciples to be smarter, to be shrewder than the worldly people in how they use their wealth, how they use their money here on earth. Not to gain more wealth and possessions or friends or houses here on earth, but to gain eternal treasures. To secure our eternity. And Jesus has warned them not to actually serve or worship money, but to serve and worship God with our money and possessions. And he has said it is impossible to serve money and God. And Luke says in verse 16 that Pharisees who heard this, Pharisees who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. But I guess, if you read verses 16 to 18, Jesus goes to the heart of the problem, right? The heart of the problem was not wealth or possessions or money. The real problem was they were not listening to God's word. God had been speaking, Jesus says, through the Old Testament, his laws and prophets. He's been proclaimed throughout the history. And he has spoken through John the Baptist. Jesus himself and the apostles have spoken the good news about the kingdom of God. And God, Jesus says that this word is eternal. And not even a single stroke will disappear even though the heavens and the earth may disappear, he says, this is eternal, this is unchanging word. And according to Apostle Paul, this is God-breathed. The Bible that we have is inspired by God. But the Pharisees, who read, meditate, wore it across their forehead, who taught the same word, ignored it. They didn't follow it. They were not listening. How do we know? Because, friends, the Bible is clear, isn't it? That we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul and strength. But this is exactly what they were not doing, right? Pharisees loved money, we are told, more than God. They were loving money with their strength, soul, and heart. They have ignored God's word. They have found a way around it. In verse 18, one other way that they ignored God's word is by working around the laws of divorce and marriage. You see, friends, when we ignore God's word, we ignore God. When we disregard and dishonor and disobey God's word, we disobey, disregard, dishonor God. And when we reject God's word, we reject God. And the great danger is, friends, when we continue to willfully reject God and put God's word to the side, God rejects us. And it begins by not listening to God. A tragedy that Jesus warns all of us to avoid even today. So he tells a story, the parable of two men, their life before and their life after death. Life before death. We find a rich man. We don't know his name, but he is what we called a filthy rich man. He has everything. He lived in a mansion with a gate. In verse 20, the word used for gate is not just our picket fence gate. No, it is a very ornate, very colorful, fancy gate. And he's dressed in purple. Purple is the color of royalty. So he's living like a king, isn't he? And even his undergarments were of fine linen, we are told. And we are told that he lived this luxurious life, not just in the weekends, no, every day he lived this luxurious life. It is this extravagant, lavish, over-the-top living, isn't it? Bit of a picture of that. Then we are told of another man. We are told his name, Lazarus. The name Lazarus means actually helped by God. But he's a beggar. Very, very poor man. He's lying outside this rich man's gate. Probably he can't walk. He doesn't have anything to eat, so he longs to eat the crumbs that falls from the table of this rich man. He's basically scavenging the bins. And remember the rich man, he's covered in purple robes, but this man is covered with sores, open wounds. His condition is dire, isn't it? Even dogs came and licked his wounds, which makes him unclean. His situation is tragic. No one to help. Sick, unclean, helpless. Such a huge contrast, isn't it? Such a huge contrast. That was the life before death for these two men. We are told about their outward appearance, but nothing is told about their heart. Their spiritual condition. Did they believe in God? Did they obey God's word? We don't know. We don't know yet. But Jesus tells us of the life after death. When the time came, the poor man died, we are told. He was released from his agony and torment here on earth. We are not told whether he had a proper burial. Probably not. He didn't have anyone to look after him. But then Jesus says something interesting, isn't it, after that? Because he was carried by angels to the side of Abraham. He's in heaven. He's in paradise. A place where there's no more pain or suffering or no more wounds. There's no more tears or sin or evil. There's not even death. A place of plenty. A place of fullness. Everything is perfect. A place of great joy and peace and everlasting rest. Contrary to what people might have thought, we begin to see that this man Lazarus is actually blessed by God. He has found favor in God's eyes. He seems to have lived a life that is pleasing to God while on earth. He trusted God and he is rewarded for his faith and obedience. And God has accepted him into his presence. What about the rich man? He also died, because everyone dies. We are told that he was buried. Can you imagine his funeral? I wouldn't be surprised that he was draped in his best linen and he was draped in his purple robe in the coffin. A beautiful, colorful coffin, custom made one for him. He would have been had this extravagant funeral service with all the dignitaries and rich friends surrounding him, and they're giving these elaborate speeches of how good he is. There would have been pomp and parades. He was buried. And verse 23 continues, right? He is in Hades. He was in hell, another word for Hades, where he was in torment, intense suffering and agony. And this rich man himself described hell, right? Verse 24, a place of fire, constant thirst, there's no water. Verse 28, a place of torment and agony. And Jesus often spoke about hell, didn't he? And he spoke about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. As a place of darkness. A place where fire burns eternally. The worm never dies. A place where there's gnashing of teeth. A place reserved for the unrighteous and the ungodly, the sinners. A place of punishment for the wicked and the devil, for those who have rejected God. A place to avoid. And the fact that this rich man has ended up in hell sheds a bit of light on his life that he lived here on earth, right? He hasn't lived a life that is pleasing to God because he hasn't found God's favor. We see that in his lifestyle of self-importance. He was just thinking about himself, like walking around in his purple robe every day, up and down the road, or up and down his house. We can see that in his lack of compassion for poor Lazarus. Because our care for the poor and the needy shows something about our devotion to God, isn't it? He's not living according to God's word. Perhaps all the wealth that he had to look after, all the wealth that he had to spend, had kept him away from trusting and listening to God's word. He has rejected God, since God has rejected him. And he has reaped the dreadful consequences of rejecting God in his life. we go on to see in verses 25 to 26, Abraham reminds this rich man and us that our condition after death is permanent. The location that we are going to spend eternity is fixed forever. Lazarus will spend eternity with God in heaven, enjoying heavenly blessings, and this rich man ends up spending eternity in hell. There's no way of transferring from one place to another. There's a great chasm, we are told. There's no way of changing the status once we are gone. Because once you're gone, you're gone. There's no halfway place where you will be purged from all your sins, where people here on earth can and pray and maybe do special prayers for you and give alms so that they can somehow push you into heaven. No. There's no DRS system. There's no decision review system after you're gone. There's no way to appeal. It's all the chances to listen to God, put our faith in Jesus. The invitation to trust in Jesus are presented here on earth. There are no second chances after death. And here in verses 27 to 31, we come to the real problem, don't we? People don't listen. When the rich man tells Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers, my family who's living in sin. Send them to warn. Send them not to come here. Send him to warn them to not to come here, this place of torment." What does Abraham say? He says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Let them listen to them. The Old Testament. Let them listen to God's word." Because friends, everything that we need for salvation, to avoid hell, is written in the Bible. Here we get to know who God is, how much He loves us, how God expects us to live. Here we find about His promises, his warnings. Here we are told how to avoid hell. Do that by believing in Jesus, His Son. But the problem is we don't listen. We don't listen. And the problem for the Pharisees on that day, they were not listening. They were not listening to Jesus. And we do the same, don't we? We ignore God's word. We ignore God. And Abraham breaks the final bad news in the last verse of this chapter. Sad reality. He says, no amount of miracles, no amount of spectacular signs or lightning strikes from the sky, not even a person raised from the dead will convince them. Why? Because they have continued to ignore. They have continued to ignore God's word, avoid God's word, and now their hearts have become hard. Now that is a great danger, isn't it, friends? When we begin to put aside God's word here and there, bits and pieces, we kind of ignore and don't listen. Our hearts become callous, hard and cold. And when God speaks, when God speaks, even the signs and the wonders may just tickle our ears, but it doesn't reach our heart. They're hard. Isn't that what some people did even after when Jesus rose from the dead? Some people do today. Some believed, or many believed, but some didn't believe because their hearts were hardened. Friends, that is the tragedy, isn't it? tragedy of all tragedies. People missing out on spending eternity with God simply because they don't want to listen to the word of God. They don't want to listen to the good news of Jesus. So what can we learn from these verses? A couple of things I want to focus. If you haven't believed in Jesus, I think you can't get away from this passage, isn't it? Jesus reminds us that heaven and hell is real. You see, the day that this rich man's brothers, they didn't get the warning from the grave, right? Nobody went from the grave to warn them. But we, the listeners today, we have a warning, don't we? We hear a person who is in torment in hell warning us, don't come here. Avoid hell at all costs. Listen to the good news of Jesus. But we have even more than a person from the grave, right? We have someone who died and came back to life and who is now seated at the right hand of God our Father, and he invites us to trust in him, Jesus, so that we can avoid spending eternity without him. Don't wait for a sign from heaven or a voice from heaven. Don't wait for a miracle to happen. Don't wait for a lightning to strike. Listen to him today. Because tomorrow may not come. It may be too late. For those of us who have trusted in Jesus, then keep listening to God. Don't ignore him. Don't reject his discipline, because we must allow God's word to shape our lives, right? We must allow God's word to soften our hearts. That's what God's word does. When it comes to us, when we read, it speaks to us, it convicts us, and God's word actually softens our heart, makes us sensitive to him and to people around us and to the needs around us. If you don't have a regular habit of reading God's word, it's not too late. You can start today. You can start today. You might want to ask yourself this morning, what is stopping me from spending time in God's word regularly? What is stopping me from being part of a Bible study group or a growth group? Is it work? Are you overworked? And you don't have time. I don't believe that. Because we find time to do what we like doing, don't we? Is it lack of planning? Is it laziness? Is it tiredness? I mean, you've done so much work, you don't have time. You're tired. Is it pride? You don't see the need, or you think, I know everything. Is it the stuff you have? The love of money that is standing in the way? Is it a hobby? Is it a relationship? Is it unconfessed sin that is stopping you from listening to God's word? Dear friends, we must check regularly, shouldn't we? What is coming in between us and God's word? And do something about it. We need to learn to put a high value on God's word, because this is where God speaks to us. This is where God who created us, God who loves us, God who knows us, God who wants to lead us, this is where God speaks to us. And if we are not listening to him, how are we going to hear God? And don't look for another word to inspire you, because we so often look, we can, oh, this is boring. Let's read something else. Let's read Christian fiction to inspire us. You can if you want to. But come back to the Word of God. Listen, read, meditate, study the Word that is in front of you, Word that is translated in your own language, Word that you can even listen if you have earphones. But then go and live. Obey. Because as James writes, when we don't do what the Word says, yeah, people who look at a mirror and sees there's something wrong, and we just walk away without doing anything about it. So this morning, voice from the grave, the voice from the risen Lord Jesus is, or the message from the risen Lord Jesus is, listen. Listen to God. Pay attention to His Word. We're going to take part in communion in a moment. It's a time where we are going to remind ourselves of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Where we eat the bread and drink the cup to remind ourselves the price that was paid 2,000 years ago to redeem us, to restore us, to accept us into the presence of God. So I'm going to give us a couple of moments for us to, before we come to communion, just to reflect on what we've just heard. Is there anything that God is prompting us to do? Is there anything that God is telling you to confess? Let me do that and prepare our hearts to take part in communion. So just do that. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your eternal Word, unchanging Word. Thank You for speaking to us. Thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit, the work of convicting us of sin, the work of restoring us back into a proper relationship with You. Work of renewing us and refreshing us. Father, we pray today, not continue to speak to us, remind us where we need to change, where we need to listen to You, where we have failed, and help us to repent, and help us to come back to You. And we thank You this morning for the awesome privilege of taking part in communion, where we can eat the bread and drink from the cup. Lord, to remind ourselves that we now belong to You. We have been sanctified, justified, redeemed, and we have been given access to Your holy kingdom. Not because we have done anything, but because we have trusted the death and the resurrection of Jesus, Your Son. So we come to You with thankful hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, as we eat the bread and then drink from the cup, we remind ourselves of that cruel day when Jesus died on a cross, where he took our curse, our punishment on him to let us have access to him, to have eternal life through him. So if you are visiting us this morning, communion is for those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, those who have repented of their sins and believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So if you have done that, please join us in taking part in communion. So let me read these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian church about the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, crucified, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. And whenever you drink it, whenever you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me.'" So please, let's eat this bread, reminding ourselves that his body was broken for us. Let's eat this together. And the Apostle Paul says, "In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said to his disciples, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Friends, we have a new relationship with God through the shed blood, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. We have a renewed relationship with one another. That's why we drink this cup together with thankfulness. So let's drink this together and give thanks. Let me pray. Yes, Lord, we give you great thanks and praise, Lord, that you have redeemed us. You have made us your own. Like Lazarus that day, Lord, we can look forward to be at your presence, enjoying heavenly riches. So Father, as your people, as people who have been redeemed by you, help us to continue to listen to you and be guided by you and find life in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.